Oh, how's everybody doing? Everyone alright?
Yeah.
Everyone in the room alright?
Yeah.
Everyone online alright?
Yeah.
Slap your neighbour. Everyone in the room, slap your neighbour. Tell them to wake up.
Wake up.
Tell the person next to you, wake up. If your spouse is if you're watching it in your bed and your spouse is next to you and they're falling asleep, wake them up. Say, wake up. Hey, Tapa, Sam, Moana, Teresa. Good morning, good morning. Family and friends, we're going to get into the word this morning. Who enjoyed worship this morning?
Yeah.
Who enjoyed worship? I feel like in my heart, as I want to serve this as a reminder to the people of God this morning, is that don't fall into the trap when you come into worship. That you're seeking God's hand. Don't fall in the trap of seeking God's hand in worship. Rather, seek His heart in the midst of worship, that when you seek His heart, His hand follows. And so I just truly believe that God is positioning His people to be people who seek His heart first, and that as you seek His heart, His hand just follows. And so if you need a miracle this morning, I believe there is a miracle out there for you, but don't seek God for the miracle. Seek His heart to know Him. And as you know Him, His hand follows. His healing miracles follows. If you're believing for breakthrough this morning where you are, even in this room, if you're believing for breakthrough within your family, believing for breakthrough within your finances, believing breakthrough for just something new in your life, can I encourage us this morning? Be people who seek His heart. And as you seek His heart this morning, His hand will follow. Amen. I just truly believe that's a word for somebody this morning. I believe that's a word for myself this morning to continue seeking His heart, seeking His face, because His hand will naturally follow. Amen. I want to read out of the book of Psalms 46, verse 10. I'm not going to be long this morning, but I do encourage us to write some notes if you're online or in person. And just a reminder as well, next week we're back in person in service. We'll let you guys know the location. We'll be here in Wainui at 10 o'clock next Sunday, and it'll be our location until the upstairs is done, which we hope to be done soon. When I say soon, I'm hoping by next month, even earlier. And so, just a reminder, we are going to meet back in person next week. But this morning, I'm going to start from Psalms 46, verse 10. And it says this, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth." Let us pray. Father, we just thank You for this morning. We thank You for Your presence that is not bound to a person or bound to a room. But Lord, Father, You're omnipresent. You are here with us. And so, Father, I pray as we are in our rooms, in our lounge rooms, out doing something, having breakfast, even sitting in this room, I pray, Holy Spirit, You speak to each and every one of us. Let our hearts be refreshed. Let our minds be renewed. That, Lord Father, that let us seek Your heart this morning, Lord Father, on what You want us to discover. I pray our hearts be open to receive from You this morning. I pray that anything that is blocking us to receive from Your presence, Lord Father, we remove that right now in the name of Jesus. I pray in the name of Jesus, any lie of the enemy that we have believed this week, we cease it right now. We lay it down at Your throne room, Lord God. And we say, we open our hearts and we open our minds, Lord Father, for the miracle that You have in store for us today. For the word that You have in store for us today. We receive that right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. All God's people say, amen, amen, amen. So Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth." And today I want to talk to us about something so simple, but something so profound, and it's titled this, being still. Everyone say, be still.
Be still.
Everyone on the chat, say, be still.
Be still.
So when you hear these words, be still, what do you think of?
Be still.
When you hear be still, what do you think of? In the chat, write it down on here so I can see it. And then in the room, when you hear be still, what do you think of? Just shout something out.
Free.
Hey?
Sleep,
freeze.
Sleep,
freeze,
water,
arrested. Water, rescue,
arrested,
stop.
Get off Fortnite.
Get off Fortnite. I don't know if that's a revelation or jealousy. But be still. I don't know about you, but this week has been an inner battle. I don't know about you, but this week has been an inner battle. And when people say, like, be still, oh, here, hymns. Peace, pause, restoration. Calm, listening, quiet. I think majority of us, when we hear the words be still, we would relate it being to like this quietness, this moment in time where you get into your closet, like that type of be still. I'm just going to blow your mind away. Though this is part of it, it's actually not it, and more than that. I want to talk to us this morning. I want you to really pay attention to what I'm about to say, because when we hear this word "be still" and know that I'm God, we initially think of this quiet inner place. But "be still" in the Word of God is not talking about that. In this context, in Psalms 46, but let's relate back to my week this week. This week has been inner battle, and this is transparency to everybody online and every person in the building right now. Is that I felt like I'm fighting against the enemy, I'm fighting against the opposition, but I'm also fighting against myself. So you're fighting the enemy who's trying to take you out, you're fighting oppositions, that what people are saying, social media, what you see online, because sometimes you compare things online or what it should look like or what it should be, and then you're fighting against yourself. So there's like three oppositions that I was fighting this week, and being still wasn't something I was thinking or trying to achieve this week. I wasn't thinking about being still. I wasn't alert of being still. I was just being bombarded with stuff, life. Have you ever felt like that? Like you just boom, boom, boom. Like you just like opposition, bang. Like something happens, bang. Like you feel like there's a breakthrough, bang. Like it's like someone's trying to like knock you out. Mm. Hey, Kalani. Yes. But with Psalms 46, let's go back to the scripture. Psalms 46, the whole chapter, praises God. And if you look at the start of Psalms 46, it's calling him our refuge and strength. It says, God, our refuge and strength, who was always there when we need help, even in tough times. It doesn't tell us what the circumstances is. In Psalms 46, it just talks about war. It talks about trials and it talks about a certain situation that we're going through. And then through that all, God steps in verse 10. I think we should read it, eh? Yeah, we should read it. It wasn't part of what I was going to read today, but let's read it. So let's go Psalms 46. Sorry, guys, going off the cuff for a minute. Let's read the whole chapter so we can get this in context. Are we all there? Psalms 46? So when we look at Psalms 46, if you're reading at home, I'm going to read out the New King James Version. Psalms 46 is coming from a third person view. So the way that the writer's writing it, it's coming from the third person view. Then from the third person, from verse 10, God talks from first person. And so let's go from verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. Verse 6. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of his hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. Verse 9. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear into two. He burns the chariots of fire. And then verse 10. Be still. So there's chaos happening. There's all this stuff happening in life. And then God says, be still. and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So verse 46, the whole chapter 46 talks about God, our refuge. It talks about a circumstance, nothing particular. It just talks about life, and it talks about God being our refuge and strength in the midst of tough times. And it doesn't tell us exactly what the circumstances they are facing, but God steps in the midst of what they're facing and says, be still. And so let's go back to 46 verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. To be still in context is a command for us. It's not a suggestion. It's not a it's not a thought of you should be still. He's saying in the midst of chaos, in the midst of war, in the midst of all this of tough times, he's like, be still. What does it mean to be still? What does it mean? It means this. Be still in the Hebrew word is rapha. Okay? Hebrew word, rapha. It means this. Cause yourself to let go or let yourself become weak. Are we alright? Be still, rapha. Cause yourself to let go or let yourself become weak. And so the call to be still is more than just this quiet place that we think of, right? We thought about the be still, the quiet place, the freeze, the take your moment aside. But be still within this context is to let go. Are we okay? You all right? Everyone all right? Everyone all right? The call to be still is to let go. It's about surrendering the illusion of control and relying on God. Can I say that again? That's a good point. It's about surrendering the illusion of control and fully relying on God. What is the illusion of control? The illusion of control is something we as human beings think of because we believe we know what's best and that we can figure out the solution of the problem that we're facing. The belief in ourselves that we know the answers. The illusion of we are in control. But in fact, when we have this in mind, it's just an illusion. Being still doesn't mean inactivity or giving up. It's not about quitting or waiting for God to do everything. When God tells us to be still, He is telling us to acknowledge His sovereignty. Being still in the Word of God in Psalms 46:10, in context, is a war term. Can I say that again? Psalms 46, when God says be still, it's a war term. Being still means surrendering your weapons. He's telling each side to cease fire. Being still in this context is not about just us being still and quiet with God. He's saying, are you willing to surrender to me and give me back my sovereignty? Are we okay? What does sovereignty mean? Sovereignty means this, because I know that we throw words around like, oh, that's a God word. But we don't know what it means. Have you ever been in church like that? Like you just throw around a word because it's a godly word, but you don't know what it means. Sovereignty is this. Sovereignty implies that God is not only the creator, but also the ruler and sustainer of all existence, and that nothing happens outside of His knowledge or control. Let me say that again. Sovereignty implies that God is not only the creator, but also the ruler and sustainer of all existence, and nothing happens outside His knowledge or control. How do we know this? Colossians 1 says this. Colossians 1:16-17 says this. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. That's God's sovereignty. He's not just the creator of God. Oh, he's over there. He's so far, far away. No, when we say be still, God's saying, can you give up control? Can you let it go? And can you put my sovereignty back in place? Because I am the controller of all things. And God will never, ever step over himself. Meaning this, is that he won't step into a situation in our life if we're not first willing to let it go. And so when God's saying, let it go, he's asking us to release control of the situation to him. And so I want to ask us, the situation that you may be facing today, maybe you're like, oh, no, I can do this. Yeah, that's the illusion of control. But imagine what would happen if you could truly let go of the situation that you're facing right now and go, God, I surrender this to you. What could happen in your life? So when God says, be still, know that I'm God, he's asking us to release control of the situation that we're facing to him. You know what that means? It means letting go of the timing and letting go of the outcome. You know what we're real bad with? We're real bad at wanting the timing and outcome, at least knowing about it, because we're like, oh yeah, at least we know God's working on it. But God doesn't tell us the timing. He doesn't tell us the outcome. He just says, can you trust me in it? Are we okay? Yeah, right, right? Yeah. Be still and know that I am God. See, the thing is that we can't just let go expecting a certain outcome because that's not being still. Have you ever been in a situation where you're like, God, I want to let go, but I want this outcome if I let it go? I'm sure every one of us have either are going through this now or have faced this before, that we have an outcome in mind. We're like, God, I'm willing to let it go, but I want this outcome if I want to let it go. That's not fully trusting and surrendering to God. That's not being still. For example, this week, yeah, I want to talk about me today. This week, I was so overwhelmed with life and frustrated and angry with things that aren't happening that should be happening. Have you ever been like that? Yeah. Like, there's some stuff that you know that should be happening but isn't happening, and you get frustrated and angry. That was me this week. And you know what? In the midst of that, it took away my peace, it took away my stillness, it took away my perspective and that anger and frustration. I started to blame myself, blame others, and blame anything in hopes it would make me feel better. And in all honesty, nothing worked because I was doing it all on my strength, and I was trying to be still by looking in for the answers in myself. When God says, be still and know I'm God, we can be still, but who are we looking to? I was being still I was at the beach yesterday or the day before. I was at the beach. I was sitting at the beach, and I was trying to be still, but I was trying to find the answers within myself. It wasn't until I completely surrendered, gave God all sovereignty, left the illusion of control, and just went, God, I give this whole burden to you. It wasn't until that moment that I started getting my perspective back, that I started getting my peace back, that I started to see what I needed to see. But it wasn't until I was still, not in myself, but still in God. Sometimes we can be still in things that are not life-giving. For example, We're like, oh, I'm being still. But what you're being still is on Netflix. Oh, I'm being still on Fortnite. Being still, and it's in ice cream. Being still, going to the movies. But we haven't actually fully surrendered it, let it go, for God to come in and rule and reign in that situation. We're trying to be still in ourselves. But the answer's not in myself. The answer's in Jesus. And if I need to go to Jesus to find the answer, it means that I need to surrender it to Jesus. Because even though he knows all things and he knows all the answers, he won't give it unless we surrender. And so when the psalmist says, be still and know that I'm God, he's saying, lay down your weapons, Jordan. You know those weapons that we fight? You know when we go through this life and you're like, you got those certain things that you have about yourself that you're like, you have this, like, come on, I can do this. God's saying, be still and know that I'm God. He's saying, lay down your weapons. Lay down your weapons. Then he's saying, lay down your frustrations. Lay down the thing that is making you feel like you have to fight. And in that laying down and that being still, that is when you'll start knowing God. What does the scripture say? Be still and know that I am God. We cannot know God unless we be still. And being still, it's about letting go. But what are you trying to let go? You're letting go of the weapons that you've been fighting. Oh, I can do this. Those weapons don't work. Because our weapons are not against flesh and blood, but our weapons are from the spiritual aspect. We got to lay down our frustrations. It means we have to, like, all those things that we have in our head. Oh man, I can't believe this person, blah, 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 blah. Lay down your frustrations. Lay down the things that you feel like you have to fight with. And in that laying down, know that I am God. And the reason why many of us can't see God in situations is because we haven't come to the place of being still. The reason why you get frustrated with your family or your spouse or your children or situations in your life, because you haven't come to the place of being still. And being still is more than just being quiet and having your alone time with God. Being still is laying down your weapons and saying, God, I can't do it. This is not my fight. This is your fight. I have to lean into you. I have to come under the eagle's wings, which is you. I have to come under you. But we're too busy trying to fight the world, trying to fight situations. When God says, can you just be still and know that I'm God? And in that being still and knowing I'm God, I'll fight for you. The reason why many of us can't see the way out is because we haven't come to the place of being still. The reason why we can't see God in the situations that we're in, because we haven't come to the place of being still. And I truly believe this is a word, not only for myself, because I've been facing it this week, but I believe this is for the people of God. We need to surrender our weapons and give God back his sovereignty. We can't control the outcome. We can't even control situations. What we can do is surrender. What we can do is be still. Because we, as the people of God, need to learn and be okay with being still. Do you know what that means? Being okay with being still? It means the things that we're going to face, we probably don't know how to face them. But that's okay. Why? Because God's our defender. We're going to stop trying to defend ourselves. God's going to defend us. We're going to stop trying to sort out situations in our life thinking that we know the answer. We don't know the answer. We're flawed human beings still trying to learn life. But you know who knows life? God knows life. Why? Because he is the creator of all, and all things were created for him and in him and through him. And if it's created in and through him, then why not go back to the creator and be still in him? And so my encouragement for us, church, today is that we can't do it, but with him we can. But we need to learn to be still and know that he is God. How do we do that? Let go. Surrender your weapons. Surrender the things that you feel like you need to fight with. Like you're like, oh no, I need to do this for my family, do this and that. How about you surrender your life to God and God will transform your life from the inside out. You don't have to fight for your family. God will fight for your family if you lean into him and be still in him. And so I pray as we go throughout this week, whatever frustrations that you go through, whatever things that you're trying to fight, don't fight it alone. Not only do you have people of God around you, but you have God himself fighting for you. And he will only fight for you if you learn to let go and surrender sovereignty back to him. Because as you do so, God will do something incredible through you and in you. And the things that you've been craving for and the things that you've been praying for, God will exceed those very things that you're thinking about. Because he does exceedingly abundantly more than we ask, think, and imagine. And why not surrender to them? And so I pray as we go through this week, be still. Know that he is God. Surrender. Drop all the weapons and go, God, I surrender all this. And I lean into you. And I trust in you. I give sovereignty back to you. And the illusion of control, I cut that away from my life. And I leave it to you. And as you do so, I believe God's going to transform not only yourself, but transform your family through you. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word this morning. I pray that you speak and continue to speak to us throughout this week and learn how to be still and know that you're God. I pray, Lord Father, the weapons that we have been fighting with, Lord, I pray that we learn to surrender to you. We think sometimes we know the answers better than you because we're like, oh, we know. But I pray, Lord Father, let us humble ourselves before you and surrender not only our weapons, but surrender our hearts, surrender our mind towards you. That, Lord Father, in the being still, we will know that you are God. And in that knowing that you are God, we know that you are in control. And that, Lord Father, that you're for us and not against us. And that your plans for us is plans to prosper our life. And not just our life personally, but the lives around us. And so, Father, as we be still and know that you're God, I pray that you will continue to transform us from the inside out. So, Lord Father, let your name be glorified. And then through what we do in our workplace, in our homes, in our shopping, whatever we do, let your name be glorified in the name of Jesus we pray. All God's people say, amen, amen, amen. Amen.